So I have two scriptures I want to read today. The first one's from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will set as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as it is in the days of old, as in former years. And this is from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysias, tetrarch of Albania. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. So I called this preparing the way. So a lot of people believe that Malachi is foretelling the coming of Jesus Christ. That is probably not true. It's probably more telling that, I know you'll find this hard to believe, but the priesthood often becomes pretty political. And at this time when Malachi is writing, it had become pretty corrupt. And so he was probably really telling of a time when someone was going to come forward to bring that corruption to an end. And so don't think of that just happening like now or 2,000 years ago. If you, Sharon had a book that she let me read on the history of Martin Luther, and it really talks about him starting the Protestant movement, but it was really because of corruption he saw in the Catholic Church at that time. And then you can go a couple hundred years later, and John Wesley does the same thing because he feels like they're not reaching out to people, to regular people, that you had to be rich, sort of rich and famous was Hall that the Anglican Church was dealing with. And so he said, this is not right. So neither one of them really wanted to start a new church or a new movement. They just wanted their church to do what was the right thing. So we have this throughout history. So again, it's really not about Jesus coming. And when it talks about this getting rid of the dross, that's really just impurities. So he's really wanting that priesthood to come back and be pure again. Now, when we go to Luke, in a lot of ways, you got the same thing going on. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of the time weren't really so much worried about the people as they were worried about themselves. And so you have this purification process going on in the religious order at the same time. So Luke has given us sort of an idea of when this took place. So when he talks about who's in power at these different places, what he's really doing is confirming to everybody who's reading this. Now, it doesn't really mean this to us because we didn't know any of those guys, but he's really confirming to us that this took place during the time that Jesus was on earth, that he had been born and was being raised. And so part of this scripture is from Isaiah, a big part of it. It's 43 through 5, and I'm going to read that again. Voice cries in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill be made low, The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and that flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So literally, when the king was coming to your village in old times, so let's use, what's the roughest road in Selma? Which one? Pick one. Pittenger. So let's say the king's coming down Pittenger and it's the roughest road. Literally, the workers would go out there and smooth it out, either straighten it or pave it or fix the potholes, whatever it took, so that the king did not have a single bounce in the road. Because that was the goal. You wanted the pathway to the king to be as easy as possible. Well, John is using that visual that people would have had then to say that's what he's trying to do to get us ready to see the Messiah that's coming. But it's not really this preparation of a road. We're not trying to fix the potholes in our life, but what we're really trying to do is get our hearts prepared and our lives prepared so that we're ready for when that happens. So we're not mending the road, but we're mending our lives. Now, whether you think that's the second coming that you're getting prepared for, or in some cases, it could be you're passing away, where you're no longer going to be on earth. The question is, are you ready or not? Have you prepared yourself? So I've never met a king. I don't know about you guys. I met the Vice President of the United States once, very briefly. If you think presidential stuff is king-like, that's as close as I've come. I've never met the Pope. I would think that those kind of people that you would meet might seem like a king, but I think it would pale in comparison to seeing the Lord. The question is, when that happens for each of us, whenever that is, because we've already talked about we don't know when that time or day is, when that happens, are you prepared? Are you ready? Have you made yourself ready to meet your Lord and Savior? And I don't know the answer. That's up to us individually. One of the things I know I have themes, but this is an ongoing theme. One of the things I would suggest to you is if there's someone or something in your life that's causing you not to have as good a relationship with the Lord as you want, you need to go ask for forgiveness. And sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. So as we prepare for communion today, and the communion rail's open if you want to stay here for a little bit and pray, it's a perfect time for you to ask for that forgiveness. I don't like to use the word remembering, but we're recognizing what God did for all of us in giving up his son for all of our sins as we share the bread and the wine. But for all of us individually, it's a time that we can give up sins in our own lives. If we're holding on to things that keep us from having as good a relationship with the Lord, it will continue to block us. You have to find a way to let go of those things. And everybody has one. I thought a long time ago, I was past something. It came up in a story, about a year ago. And when I was telling the story, I could feel myself get angry again about it. And it had been 15 years ago. I would have told you I had let that go. Clearly, I had not. And I bet in all of our lives, there's something like that in our past. Something that either we did or something that somebody did to us that for whatever reason, we can't just let go of it. This communion rail is a perfect place to do that. So the communion service that I'm going to use today, I borrowed this from a lady. Her name is Aldea Smith. And so part of this, most of this I'm going to say, but part of it we're going to say together, and I'll lead you into that. So this was by Adia Smith. It's her Advent Communion Liturgy. So if you'd join me, please. As we come to this table, we are reminded that this is the table of Jesus Christ, a banquet prepared for everyone, all who seek to be nourished and sustained in the journey of faith. All who seek wholeness and compassionate paths to peace and justice are welcome here. God be with you. And the people said,
and also with you.
lift up your hearts. And the people said,
we lift our hearts in prayer.
Let us give thanks to God. And the people said,
it is good to give thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, breath of peace, giver of all life, source of love that knows no boundaries. Your song of wisdom rang out before the world began. Throughout the ages, your song of liberation has impregnated us with your hope for a world where those considered last and least are first and most. Violence is overcome by the power of your ancient love, and all siblings work together for peace. You bring our longings to birth and send prophets to awaken us to the approaching advent among us. We thank you for those who, like Mary, have the strength and courage to give birth to your love in the world, for those who, like the shepherds, dare to seek out the child of Bethlehem, for those who, like the wise ones, actively challenge violent and oppressive powers. We praise you that your everlasting light is shown to us in womb and tomb, in cradle and cross, in tenderness and compassion. We join in the Advent prayer of all your people, and the people said, and as we wait and watch for your coming among us, we proclaim your goodness. At this time, we also remember all with whom you have us share your feast. We pray for all who are in sorrow and pain, all who are ill or alone, all who are close to our hearts, all our sisters and brothers who live with fear, oppression, and hunger, all those who have been blighted by violence, racism, and poverty, for whom the world counts as least and last. We pray for the church and its many ministries, for the nations as they strive for peace and justice, for an end to the violence against women and children. God of hope, make this bread the means of our rebuilding, this wine the medium of our transformation, this table the foundation of our renewal, and this community the peace of our rebirth. Amen. At this time, as we remember Jesus, who on the night before he died, took a loaf of bread, gave it, broke it, and said, take, eat. Whenever you do this, remember me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the new covenant. Remember me. Gracious God, breath of peace, source of love, we pray for your spirit. And the people said, make us, while many, one. Make us, though broken, whole. Make us, despite death, alive. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. The body of Christ, the bread of life. The life blood of Christ, the cup of blessing. Let us eat and drink together for the strengthening of our faith and for the sake of the world. So in the United Methodist Church, communion is open to everyone. What I'd like everybody to do today is come down the middle in a single file. I'll have the bread on the left and Judy will have the juice on the right. If you need us to come to you, we would be happy to do that. Once you've said whatever prayer you'd like to say, you may take the juice at any time, whether you do that in front or back at your seat. And we'd like to welcome you forward now. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful again that we can come together. Let us take those things in our lives that get in the way of our relationship with you. Let us give those up to you. Let them never come back in our lives again. Be with all of us as we go out into your world. Let us be the best we can be. Let us share your love and grace with all those that we come in contact with. Amen.